All right, everyone, welcome into the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, joined by my buddy Rich Rebar. We are here on Thanksgiving morning because we're not doing shit. We're sitting here, staying safe, staying at home, and about to, you know, cook up some great food and hang out at home. It's gonna be great. Gonna watch my Dallas Cowboys probably lose on national television to Alex Smith and the Washington football team. You know, it's just become a yearly tradition to be really disappointed on Thanksgiving. But we are, as always, on the Friday show, though you guys are gonna get it a day early, going to pick our five favorite games against the spread. And you know what? Honestly, a thing to feel thankful for, we don't have to take the super square Houston -3 on the show officially, so that feels nice. And by the time people are listening to this, we probably already lost that bet.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of ran through it before. It's like, you know, I have to feel something when I watch this game, especially both these games today, so I will wager on both them. I mean, it's such a square pick Houston, and teams, you know, since 2015 are 15-9 against the spread coming off of getting shut out. But I mean, this Lions team missing Galladay, missing DeAndre Swift. Oh man, they were just so putrid last week. It's hard to back them. And you know, Houston looked really legitimately like good on offense last week, even after losing Randall Cobb early in that game. So I mean, I'm going to take them. But you know, hopefully everyone already understands that I lost that bet already.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get into it here with our picks against the spread in week 12. Do you want to go ahead and lead off?
Sure, man. I'll go first. So, only cause this is so high, I've got a little bit lower, but, I will lay these points with the Browns. I'm willing to lay these points against Mike Glennon, making his first start since 2017. I just think it's when you look at a matchup, too, it's like everything the Browns want to do, the Jaguars can't stop. The Browns are the second most pass-heavy team on first downs in neutral game script, and the Jaguars have trailed for the highest percentage of plays in the NFL. So I think the Browns are just going to come out. They're going to move the Jaguars around. And even the Browns, I think, will even be able to throw in this game, unlike they haven't in their past three games that if they've played in just awful weather. If anyone watches football, they probably wonder why I even live in this area after watching what the Browns have played in the past 3 weeks. But, you know, some good weather against the team that's also 32nd in the EPA against the pass as well. So I just think the Browns will be able to stay on script, be functional when they do have to go to that play action. It'll actually be effective, unlike the past 3 weeks when they've just been playing in inclement weather. So I like them here. I don't love the Browns minus almost a full touchdown, but getting hit is 6.5 and not the 7, I like a lot.
I mean, who is the Bears player? Oh man, this would have been so funny if I had this Bears player on record, but someone asked this Bears player about systemic racism in the NFL, and he responded, "Dude, we signed Mike Glennon." And that was his answer to how systemic racism permeates in the NFL. And I thought that was a really great answer.
And they traded for Nick Foles too. So we're like, it proved again. It's proven again.
It really, yeah. I mean, look, getting 6.5 points for Mike Glennon, you know, again, you and I are pretty on the record as like not caring that much about home and road stuff. I especially don't care about home and road stuff when it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, I mean, the Browns players, they're probably coming out like, oh my God, we don't have to play in a torrential downpour. We don't have to play with 50-mile-an-hour winds. This is going to be like, you know, a day in the park for us here in Jacksonville. So this one was not on my list, but definitely one that I am with you on. So my number five, and honestly, if this was 4.5, it'd be my number one, but it's the New York Giants -6 at Cincinnati. So they're not going to start Ryan Finley this week. They're going to start Brandon Allen instead, who, I mean, honestly, to be fair, Brandon Allen has put together a better NFL sample than Ryan Finley has. But, I mean, this
– low bar. It's a low team, bar.
Low bar. I mean, this Bengals team, bro. So they don't have a defense. They don't have an offensive line. Don't have Joe Mixon. Gio Bernard has a concussion, probably not going to play. Just imagine the effort that A.J. Green is going to expend when he is out there on the field on Sunday. I mean, will he even get to 50% effort? I think probably no. I mean, and T. Higgins is banged up. Like, and I mean, the Giants suck, but the Bengals are like, I think this version of the Bengals is worse than Jaguars. I think this is the worst. I think this iteration of the Bengals is the worst team of the 32 NFL teams right now.
Yeah, they appear to be pretty snake bit at this point. I mean, losing Burrow is a big bummer. you know, especially for those wideouts. And I think, like you said, Brandon Allen maybe can he kept like Sutton and Fant like somewhat afloat a little bit in his sample last year, but yeah, there's some big plays involved. So I mean,
well, it was so bad. Yeah. It was because he was hucking the ball deep, dude. Like, remember Cortland Sutton just had, like, some of those, like, Megatron-level, you know, cat-like receptions. Like, I remember he had, like, a 50-yard touchdown where he, like, the defensive back was, like, literally his hands were on, like, inside of Sutton's, and he came down with it. Like, it wasn't Brandon Allen related.
Yeah, I think that was on Denzel Ward. They played the Browns because, like, Fant had, like, a 70-yard touchdown where it was, like, 58 yak yards. Like, it's like a 10-yard pass that he housed. But he got progressively worse, and then eventually they conceded that job to Drew Lock. But, I mean, this Bengals roster, like I said, just so snake, but they trade Dunlap too. I mean, it's hard to be against this one on any level. And the Giants actually have, like, a moderately, like, solid defense. Like, they're not, like, a defense that's a great, but like they're definitely able to shut this offense down with this group of guys. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against this.
Yeah. So it's like, again, it's not a spot where I'm like, oh my God, you got to get it all in on Daniel Jones and Joe Judge and Jason Garrett on the road. But I mean, you know, another thing is, and this is such hidden equity in betting against these bad quarterbacks, they are so much more likely to give you those, point covering points, right? So fumble sixes, pick sixes. And then the best thing is it's not like Joey backdoors, right? Like if the Bengals have the ball down 10 with 5 minutes left, you're like, oh, they're not going down to go score here. Like this, it's the backdoor does not feel near as open. So New York Giants -6, whatever, it's the Giants, but I am betting this one.
I like it. My next one is going to be tough to stomach, I think, but I just think the line is too high, and it's the Chargers, getting 5.5.
Yep. Got this one
play,
too.
They just play a bunch of close games. Like we talked about it. They're like the Seahawks. Like they play a bunch of weird close games. They've only lost by more than they've lost by 6 or more points just twice this year. So I mean, it's just a spot where I think the points are too high. Buffalo has a defense too that I don't think is really going to slow down what the Chargers are doing. And if Austin Eckler is going to play, like I feel even better about it. But you just get Kalen Ballage off the field. No one undershot their expected points at running back last week, worse than Kalen Ballage last week and what he should have had, which is something that I believe in.
But he still got like, but he still got 14 points. Remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. So,
I mean, we're going to plug in an actual efficient player into his role in this offense that has been kind of, you know, humming.
Well, maybe. I don't think it's 100% confirmed that Eckler is back, but he should be.
Yeah, I mean, if he is, like, you know, stick a pin in that, yeah, right. Obviously. But if he does play, it's an upgrade, obviously, on Kalen Ballage.
It's massive, yeah. I think, I mean, so, you know, we talk about running backs don't matter and everything, like, and they don't, but they do matter when you're giving Kalen Ballage 20 touches a game versus Austin Eckler.
And a pass catcher like Eckler has proven himself as does have some value if the marginal value running backs provide. He does provide a little extra based on his receiving, you know, resume in the NFL. But I think when you just look at this Buffalo defense, where they're bad at is defending the deep ball, and Justin Herbert is just shredding. I mean, they are allowing a league high 57% completion rate on throws over 15 yards downfield. Herbert's third in the NFL on those throws behind Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. So I don't think we're going to see this Herbert train slow down. He's got over his past 7 games, he's got 20 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Through 9 career starts, he has the most passing yards in NFL history. He's third in touchdowns, second most multiple touchdown games. I believe the Chargers will find a way to lose this game still, and the Bills will win it coming off of a bye, and you've got a West Coast team going east. But 5.5, I feel like it's too much. I think they can keep it within a field goal or like, you know, like a 35-31 or like a, you know, 30-27 type game, something like that is I think what we're looking at. And obviously this will be the most popular DFS game of the slate, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. This one was on mine as well. This is a spot where I would probably bet the Bills money line, but, you know, obviously would prefer to just bet the Chargers. Cause I agree with everything you said. I think the Chargers should be able to score here. I think that the Bills very specifically struggle against what the Chargers are able to do well on offense, but Anthony Lynn, you know, very bad in-game coach. Sean McDermott, very good in-game coach. And those are the kind of marginal edges where you're like, the Chargers might even be the better roster, right? They truly might even be the better team than the Bills, but they're just not coached as well at all.
They might get so Chris I'm with Harris. You here for sure. Chris Harris might be back. I mean, my dream right now is just moving Joe Brady to head coach the Chargers next year. I'm already trying to make this happen in my brain. Like, how do we get Joe Brady to replace Anthony Lynn?
Yeah. That's a really good one. I'm with that entirely. Okay, so let's see here. My next one is it's kind of gross, but it's the Las Vegas Raiders -3 on the road at Atlanta. And it's only gross because it's the Raiders and I hate the Raiders. But I mean, you know, at this point there's really no denying that Derek Carr is having a top 12-ish quarterback season. He's played the Chiefs close twice now. He is above league average in completion percentage, above expectation. He's just playing really well. You and I just had a dynasty trade with Henry Ruggs this last week. And while they're not targeting Ruggs, they are using him to create lots of space for Darren Waller. And Nelson, I don't think it would be working as well if Nelson Agholor wasn't having the most efficient wide receiver season in NFL history. Nelson Agholor is yeah, it's unbelievable, but they just have a bunch of things that are functioning on offense, and the defense is not, I mean, they're not even half as bad as they were last year. They're actually getting some pressure on the quarterback, and the Matt Ryan, Julio Jones on-off splits are it's as stark as it gets. When Julio is banged up, it's Matt Ryan gets his Glennon on out there, and I personally don't think Julio's going to play this week. I mean, maybe he will, but also how many times have we seen Julio play a game when he's banged up and then limp off in the second quarter and not come back? It's just going to happen.
Yeah. So this is my next one. That was my three. So the Falcons have scored 30.8 points per game in the full games that Julio's played, as opposed to 16.8 points per game in the four games. He's either missed two outright and he's played fewer than 40 snaps in two of those. So just 16.8 points from those games. The Raiders are actually the 3-0 this season as favorites. And 3-0 against the spread in those games. They're the only undefeated team against the spread as a favorite that's had multiple favorite games. They've scored 30 or more points in three straight games. It's the first time they've done that since 2016. And they are averaging the most points per play in the NFL over the past 3 weeks. They're scoring points. And if the Falcons aren't able to pace them with Julio's nicked up, I like this one as well. We're back in two West Coast teams going east already. Gotta love that. But indoors, I don't think the Falcons are going to slow them down, though, is the thing. I think when you look at this Falcons defense, this pass defense that made Taysom Hill look like a functional passer, 31st in the league, in just about every metric, passing metric.
One of the most tilted I've ever been, by the way, was – because I didn't play Taysom in cash last week. So just watching him just carve apart that Falcons defense, I was like, what is going on? And it was so much Sean Payton just flexing on everyone, being like, look, dude, I can turn Taysom Hill into Drew Brees if I want to. Look at me, bro.
But the biggest thing I came out of last week was realizing how good of a season Travis Kelce's having, because Travis Kelce outscored Taysom Hill at tight end last week.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
A starting quarterback that had nearly 25 fantasy points. Travis Kelce was still the tight end one in the leagues that even Taysom Hill was available to play tight end in.
That is, oh my, what a stat. What a stat. Has your Twitter returned to normal since Juju retweeted you?
No, I mean, what's funny is Juju, I think, thought I was agreeing with him too. So it's been extra tilting of people just coming in and coming into my mentions and letting me know how wrong I am when I was actually saying that they shouldn't play that game today as on Thanksgiving, that they should postpone that game, but that they should have postponed that other game as well. But no, my mentions have been just trash.
Yeah, well, welcome to my life. My mentions are trash all the time. So wait, that Las Vegas -3. That was me. So now
that was your four or your three?
That was my three, because I had the Chargers as well, and then the Giants was my five.
Okay, that was my three as well. So I'm down to two. I'm sticking with my bread and butter here, and it did let us down one spot a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to take the Seahawks and lay these points.
Okay,
especially since it's gone down. It's gone down. Yeah. Which I like. I was getting a little worried it started off too high, because you never want to lay a bunch of points at Seattle, because they're, like they say, they play close games. They always let teams in the games. But you know, it didn't work out against Buffalo, but still, since Russell Wilson, he's 24-10, 22-10-2 in the Eastern time zone. He's 3-0 in Philadelphia. They've covered all three times. They covered twice there last year. They played them in the playoffs and in the regular season. So I like this spot. I think that Seattle is going to get Chris Carson back. They're Monday night. They're a great primetime team as well. So I mean, I'm just going to stick with them. And it's really a bet against Carson Wentz at this point too. I mean, you look at Carson Wentz, in turnovers and sacks per game, they're allowing the most in the NFL, over 6 per game. And then if you say, well, Seattle's defense is terrible, it can prop up Wentz. Sure, we can squint and say that, but Carson Wentz threw for 4.6 yards per pass attempt against the Dallas Cowboys at home. Like, I mean, he threw for fewer than 5 yards per pass attempt against the Bengals. Like, there's no matchup, I think, that we can find on the board that's just going to elevate him into, like, a great passer this season. So, I mean, there might be some volume that he can get there and stack volume, but I don't think he's going to be efficient in this game just because he's facing the Seattle defense. I'm just going to lay these points, man.
I mean, like, watch Carson Wentz, dude. Just watch him. Just you like what, like you see him, bro. I mean, or Dan Orlovsky had this whole bit on ESPN this week where he's like trying to explain why, how Carson Wentz only made 2 bad decisions of all the decisions he made in the Eagles game last week. But I mean, I think this Wentz thing has gotten to the point to where bro. I mean, they gotta play Jalen Hurts. Like, if you are Jalen Reagor, if you're Travis Fulgham, if you're Dallas Goedert, how do you look at what Wentz is doing and then look at what he did back in 2017 and just be like, oh, this is the same guy? Like, something, I don't know what has happened. I don't know if it's mechanical. I don't know if it's mental, but I mean, this guy is just terrible. Like, this guy is so bad that I don't even expect him to do well against this literally like the worst passing defense we've ever seen. Right? Like, he just is, he's brutal. And Doug Peterson, fake sharp. Like, we've been on this train forever that Doug Peterson is this giant fake sharp, and he is not smart enough in game or in practice or over the course of the week to fix what's wrong with Carson Wentz. I mean, I think that probably the biggest thing that, you know, that we've figured out is that, you know, Frank Reich, I mean, he was the brains behind the operation when the offense was good, I think.
I mean, it seems getting worse for Carson Wentz, too. I mean, they're so in the bag on this contract, though. Like, that's the thing. I think that's the only reason they haven't benched him yet is just because they feel like if they bench him, it's like a full season, you know, deal. And then you've got this quarterback that they can't really get out of his contract for like another 2 years. They're just so far behind the eight ball here. I think that's the only thing that stopped them is they're just like, you know what, we're just gonna have to live with this. Like, he's gonna have to punch his way out of this, and maybe he doesn't. But it feels like it's just getting worse each week. Like, he's just not rebounding. I mean, I just go back to that Cowboys game a couple weeks ago, and like, that Dallas team at that point was so bad defensively, and they still are that bad defensively, by the way. He just was so awful in that game, and it's just like, yeah, that's what I just realized. Like, it doesn't even matter like who he faces right now. Like, he's just playing so poorly. So I mean, I'm gonna take Russ, especially, like I said, getting Chris Carson back. I just feel good about that. I feel good about that line going down. You feel like, oh, I'm going against sharp money, but man, maybe I'll be a square, but I'm gonna lay it.
Yeah, well, and then we're gonna have the same number one here as well, right?
I feel dirty about my number one because you might not have it.
Okay. Is it Chicago plus 8.5?
No, it's the Steelers, just because I feel like it shouldn't be on my card because I feel like
I don't have it because this game's just going to get canceled. I didn't have this one.
So I have it's a just backup, not... though. I do have
okay,
a backup.
Let's go.
But I do think that if they do play this game, say they do play this game on Sunday because the NFL doesn't, you know, they care enough about the outbreak not spreading, but if the Ravens don't have, like, a positive test on Saturday, then, dude, they're playing that game. Like, the NFL does not care. Like, all they care about is that it's, like, stopping the outbreak. Like, but if they have to play that game, the Ravens are going to be without Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, Matt Skura, their starting center, after they lost their starting left tackle. Then you've got this, you know, these crazy splits of Lamar Jackson, and his 2 starts against the Steelers has just been dreadful. There's really no way around it. Like, he's been
terrible.
And they're going to be out all these players. I mean, It would have to be, I think, over a touchdown, and I don't think it would get there. But I would lay it. I mean, it just put it. They're gonna like the Ravens. Like, it's one of those weird things. Like, if you want to prevent the outbreak, but like they're gonna be so shorthanded if they have to play this game. It's just not fair. But I assume that your top one is Arizona. That would be my backup.
I don't want to bet Kyler with a shoulder injury. I mean, this one would make my list if I just knew that. Also, I'm like putting Cliff in timeout for a week as well. I was so mad with how he handled the timeouts last week that, like, yes, this is a great spot. Yes, I like this. Yes, I will be picking Arizona in like all my picks contests, but it's not making my list because Cliff needs a timeout. I mean, dude, what was he doing? Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's Cliff's MO is like, he's like 90%. It's unreal. Sharp.
Yeah, it's it's unbelievable.
That 10% is an egregious 10%. It's always the worst times. Yeah, I mean, they've traveled well east under him. They've got the rest advantage. I just think they're a better team than the Patriots right now. Patriots can't stop the pass at all right now, which is just insane. So, I mean, maybe the shoulder injury comes into play, but that'd be my backup if you're making me pick another one. So hit me with your top one.
KC -3. I mean, I've literally been saying this since week one. Well, actually, people didn't start talking about the Buccaneers being the best NFC team until like week three, but I've just said neutral field, KC would be favored by 3.5, and I would bet them, and I'm sticking to it. The problem with the Buccaneers is the defense always shows up, right? The defense is always good, but you're like 50-50 the last 2 weeks.
Bad. No, not even. Go back. So, like, they lay the wood on Rodgers in that game. Like, just absolutely nuke him. But look at since that game they faced Aaron Rodgers, what they've done defensively. The Raiders put up 350 yards on them. The Giants put up 360 and probably should have beat them. The Saints then put up 420 yards and didn't even try the second half. Carolina has Teddy get hurt, but they score 17 points in the first half. And then the Rams put up over 400 yards on them as well. Like, their defense, I think the stigma of their defense is really carrying a lot of clout.
Is good, right?
When the last 5-6 games, they have not been a good defense at all. I look at this game too. I mean, if I love the 3 here as well. You got this weird thing though. The Buccaneers have clapped back after all their losses and been good though.
Yes. Yeah. That's so funny. Right.
They've scored a bunch of points after loss. They lose in week one, come back and score 31 points. Then they lose in week five, come back and score 38. That's the Rodgers game. Then they lose against the Saints 2 weeks ago and they come back and score 46. And then they lose this week. So it's going to be interesting to see if they score points. Because on the flip side, the Chiefs defense hasn't been playing any good at all either. So I like the over in this game. I know it's really high. I think there's going to be points. I think Brady will play better. Because you're the one that brought this up, and I've been kind of knocking this too to people. It's like the Chiefs defense is good when they're up 10. And when they're not, like, that's when they're exploited. Like, when teams just hang in game script against them, it's like, oh, yeah, this defense – yeah, that's right, this defense isn't good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that – and that's how, you know – like, I mean, that's how they should build their defense, right? Because if you're the Chiefs and you're spending your freaking salary cap on run stopping middle linebackers, just like you're not doing your job. But yeah, I mean, they spent money on safeties, they spent draft picks on corners and stuff. Like, that's what they needed to be doing. And then edge rushers, right? They trade the pick for Frank Clark. They pay Chris Jones. Like, you know, they were doing things to try. Like, honestly, the Mahomes Chiefs are kind of like an even more well-designed version of the Manning Colts, where it's all about speed and it's all about edge rushers, right?
We just need to build a dome.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, imagine, dude. Imagine. I'm Mahomes in a dome. I mean, they'd score 60 touchdowns a year. So this is the thing. Like, Brady to win to win this game. I mean, Brady would have to have his best game of the year. I mean, he would have to be 70% completion rate. Dude, do you know that he has not completed an air yards pass deeper than 20 yards over the last month? I mean, what the fuck? Like, you can dink and dunk all you want, but that's like, it's like, you know how everyone, you know, when this is like a really good tweet that people always do when people Like when someone kicks a field goal against Kansas City in a primetime game, your whole timeline will fill up. Well, you're not going to win in Kansas City kicking field goals, right? Well, you're not going to win. You're not going to win playing Kansas City throwing 7-yard outs to Antonio Brown at a time either. Like, that's not going to cut it. So I don't really think the Buccaneers can win this game most of the time unless something weird happens.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree. It's just like I was probably just blinded by the game total and thinking like, well, I think the Bucs are going to score points in this game and it can get to 60, you know, pretty offhand. I think the Bucs defense though is definitely like it's definitely one of those things. I think they're carrying a lot more clout than their performance on the field the past 6 weeks. And you're not gonna, and this is a weird game too in a sense of what the Bucs do is like inviting the Chiefs to do all the things that they do well. So the Chiefs have thrown the ball 61% of the time on first and second down plays outside of the fourth quarter. It's the highest rate in the league. They pass the heaviest on those downs. Well, opponents throw 62% of the time in neutral game script outside the Bucs because their run defense is awesome. Like, so it's, you have this thing, it's like, all right, well, we're not going to be able to run the ball, so we're just going to throw all game. And it's easier for the Chiefs to come out and do that because they just say, like, hey, we have Patrick Mahomes. Like, where's the problem? We don't care if we can't run the ball. Right. They did it against the Panthers. They did it against the Jets. And granted, those teams aren't the Bucs. Even with them sliding, they're better than those defenses. But the Chiefs are willing to do that, and you're inviting the Chiefs to put the ball into the hands of their best player. And then the Bucs blitz at 39% out of the time. It's the fifth highest rate in the league. Mahomes, we talk about every week. Like, you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. 9.4 yards per attempt against the blitz, 7.8 yards per attempt otherwise. So it's going to be interesting if Todd Bowles can get out of his way and try to invite the Bucs to allow some rushing yards this game. But I don't know if they're capable of doing it. But it's just a bad matchup. They're going to just drop back and throw, I think, a bunch. Like, how about Sean McVay going against script and just saying, we're going to come out and throw all over you.
Care. That was beautiful.
Like,
that was, yeah.
It was, man. Like, he had a great game plan. And I think the Chiefs are just come out and wing it around, too. Like, just because they're going to – well, one, they're not going to be able to run the ball. And then they're just going to be invited to, and it's going to be successful.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, there we go. We have made our picks. What do we have to promote right now?
You know, same thing, sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharp 35% off anything this week you want to do. You know, you can always find me here picking games. You can find me at Roto Grinders Wednesday night, Pick Six with John Daigle, Pre-Snap Motion Podcast with Chad Scott, Sharp Angles Podcast with Dan Pizzuta and Cleve TA. 12 weeks in the books.
12 weeks in the books. We are we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I see it. I feel it. I can't wait for it. Everyone, obviously, follow Rich on Twitter to see him chopping it up with Juju Smith-Schuster. Check out sharpfootballanalysis.com. Check out dailyroto.com. Check out sportsgrid.com. And we will be back next week with our Kansas City Chiefs Bucks.